Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. And it's Monday morning at 8 o'clock. And that could mean one thing. We head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Corey Curtis from News 2 to the program. Corey was outstanding on the preseason finale broadcast for the Titans.
Yeah, yeah.
Did a very good job.
Corey, nowhere close to the biggest star in his own family. That would be Eva, his daughter, who's just out there kicking it for Woodland Middle School. I got the video.
Yeah, he didn't send it to me. Mean, Corey sends grief. It to you only, not to me. That's
just
cool.
An absolute star out there. Corey, thanks for coming, joining us on the program this morning. And now let's talk about the biggest star in your family.
You know, you guys sit about 3 feet apart. I thought you might share it with each other.
That's
so
good.
I apologize.
That's fine.
So.
No, I get it. That's
but,
fine.
But,
second
but Joe,
fiddle.
I'll send it to you when it's over. Yeah.
I appreciate it.
So,
I look forward to it.
You got to be a proud father.
Well, I'm always a proud father. And I'm going to be honest. I wasn't for her playing padded football. But it was important to her. And the important thing is to support her. And it was really tough for her at first. And I'm really proud of her for sticking with it. And she enjoys it now.
Very good.
That's
very
awesome.
Good stuff there. So, Corey, there's a lot to sort through here with you now that the preseason has officially wrapped up. I guess let's start here. What did you think of Robert Saleh kind of reversing course and not playing the majority of the starters in this game against Chicago?
Well, I mean, if you go to the joint practice and you see how hard they go at it and you consider that they play basically 50 plays, which is almost a full game, and then to go ask them to go out there two nights later and play again, I kind of get it. I kind of get it. You've gotten through this preseason pretty healthy, and I think they were pretty happy with how they performed against the Bears. I think offensively, Cam was like 19 to 30 with 3 touchdowns. Carnell had a huge day, and I think defensively they struggled at first, but I think in the 2 minute, they really felt like they shut the Bears down, and I think he was happy, and there was no need to push it beyond that. And I don't begrudge him. Some coaches play the starters, some coaches don't. Most teams don't have 3 joint practices. That's a lot, and that's a lot of that's a lot of wear and tear. And we're at the very end, and I understand being at the finish line and saying, you know what, let's get to week one.
So I hear everything you're saying there, Corey, but Robert Saleh did play. He did value to some extent playing those guys in preseason games before. He did say he was going to do it. He left it open that he could change his mind. I didn't love the change of mind on the day of the game just because, I mean, you know, some fans might have
announced it the day of the game doesn't mean the decision was made.
Well, but that's why I don't love it, because if you knew, say it earlier so that a fan doesn't, I mean, like if I'm a Titans fan thinking about going, I'm going if Cam's playing it. You know what I mean? But also,
there's
going to be a 3-week gap now. And I understand, I think he did a really good job of explaining the value of as he calls them the joints, but we'll call them the joint practices. So I understand that. But also, it's still going to be 3 weeks of a gap. Cam Ward not playing in a game situation, which is still you can be hit and tackled, unlike in any of these joint practices. Do you buy at all the idea that some of this might have been Robert Saleh seeing the entire NFL world dissecting his quarterback struggles in the preseason and not wanting to deal with that anymore until we get to game week?
No, I don't. It wasn't just Cam. Everybody was dissecting the whole team, saying the whole team was lousy after the way they played against Seattle in that game. I mean, the defense got completely carved up to start that one. And, you know, I guess it's possible. But I think if you think you have to protect your quarterback, you know, and his feelings, you probably don't have the right quarterback. But
I'm with you there.
And so I would doubt that. But, you know, you never say never.
Corey, on the initial 53-man roster, a couple of things really jump out to me. Number one, I mean, they go out this offseason. They sign Cordell Volson to be what we think could be the starting right guard. Obviously, Carmona has done really well for himself. He's going to start at right guard. Yeah. But Volson doesn't even make the team. He gets cut out of camp. And then you've got Restrepo. And look, we've talked a lot about Restrepo over the last year and a half. But it is a pretty cool story to see him make the initial 53 of just how much he's persevered and come through. Like, I don't know exactly what it's going to mean for him in his career, but what did you make of kind of those two developments on the initial 53-man roster?
Well, I think a couple weeks into camp, it was pretty evident that Volson wasn't the answer at that guard position. And that continued to play out, even as he played with the twos and then the threes. It didn't get much better. So if you're gonna struggle, it might as well be with the younger guys. And the younger guys just simply outplayed him. It wasn't close. You know, so you hit on Schlotman, and you didn't hit on him, but you obviously hit on Carmona, who's played really, really, you know, really well. And, you know, Carmona's an amazing story. The guy only played 8 games of high school football. He was a tennis player. So, I mean, you talk about ceiling, you know, he's a guy who hasn't played a ton of football comparatively to some of these guys. And, you know, we talk about Restrepo like he's this Mark Mariani, Mason Kinsey underdog story. He's the all-time leading receiver at the U, okay? He's not an underdog, all right? Now, you know, has he struggled to make the roster? Yes, yes, he has. And, you know, he had a good preseason and he had a good camp. I still wonder how he gets on the field, you know, because are you going to sit down Wandell to play him? And that doesn't mean I'm against keeping him. I'm just saying, you know, everybody's very excited about this. I'm still wondering when and how he gets on the field, you know, as the Titans' 6th receiver. But, you know, it shows that hard work and results, coaches notice. He lost weight, got quicker, you know, had a big night on Saturday night, you know, and he fits the definition of what they want, which is, you know, guys who football is really important to them because it's really important to them.
Are you saying he loves ball? Does he love ball?
Does love ball.
There we go.
He is not the panda.
Speaking of someone who also loves ball, Will Levis, I think he loves ball. He's out. I think he just sent a farewell tweet here a little while ago, Corey. Is he definitely going to get picked up by somebody? And who would you guess would do that? I guess presumably as, you know, the third quarterback on a team's active roster.
I think he is young enough. And, I mean, gosh, guys, you look at him and you just physically look at him. And then you see, Saturday night, some of the throws he made, some of the layered throws he made were really nice. And then you see just some of the inconsistencies. But there's the coaches that are out there that are going to look at that base talent and they're going to say, I can coach it out of him. Or we'll bring him in as the 3 and see if we can, you know, make something here. Because we've seen guys improve. It is allowed to happen over the years. And so I would think someone will look at his base skill level and say it's worth bringing him in as the 3. I mean, shoot, there's several teams that kept 4 this year. I think the Eagles kept 4. I think the Vikings kept 4. And so, you know, who's that? Well, I know Jacksonville just traded for a 2. But maybe, you know, maybe they're not willing to trade for Will Levis, but maybe they're willing to pick him up as a free agent to be their 3. And maybe, you know, that relationship with Liam Coombe, that's an attractive spot for Will. I think, you know, Carolina behind, you know, Bryce Young with Coach Canales. I think Canales is a really good coach. I think that would be a nice spot, you know, for Will to land. I don't know who Atlanta's 3rd is, but their first 2 aren't great. So I think, you know, if I were Will, that would be one that would be attractive. And I look at the New York Giants because if there's a quarterback that I think he could play more like than most guys, it's Jackson Dart. You know, he could be you know, battering ram with a big arm.
So you think so? That would be a reunion with Brian Callahan. Is Brian Callahan out here clamoring for a reunion with young Will?
Well, you know who else got cut was Jake Ferguson down in Tampa, and he of course was the backup in Cincinnati. And so I was wondering if Callie would push, you know, to bring in Jake Ferguson in New York.
Yeah.
Jake Browning. But yeah, you know, it's interesting. You know, how much pull does Callie have? I mean, he's the passing game coordinator. He's not even the OC.
That's a good question. That is a good question.
Hopefully, a lot. That bodes well for the Giants.
Yeah, it would. So, Corey, let me say this. So we've now gotten through preseason, mercifully, and the regular season is right around the corner. How do you feel now about kind of the outlook for this team, maybe versus how you compared to what you felt like when camp began? Is it dramatically different? Is it about the same? How do you feel about the 2026 version of the Titans as we now enter into regular season football?
Well, you know, it's a lot of the unknown still. You know, look, my expectations of the offensive line were really low, and I think they're now better than they were when camp started, which is a really, really nice surprise for me. You know, the defense, you know, has done some good things in the joint practices, but again, I need to see him do it in the game. You know, the same thing goes for Cam. You know, he had some good moments in the joint practices. We need to go see him do it in the game. I think there is a transformation that has to go on with him, you know, still taking the layups and knowing the time and place to hunt. And you know, he's a young quarterback. That's okay. He doesn't have to have it all figured out today. But, you know, he's got to show progress in figuring it all out. You know, Carnell Tate was dynamic in the joint practice, catching 7 or 8 balls, but doesn't have a catch in the game. Does that mean I don't think he can do it? No, but it just means there's some unknown still out there. And so, you know, I've looked at teams before and thought this and that coming out of training camp, so I'm not going to get crazy on it. I think there are some things that look a little bit better. You know, Joey Sly's looked amazing. The offensive line better than expected. I think they've got more than one receiver, which is good. But, you know, the defense has got to prove that they're what we think they should be. And, you know, Cam's got to take that next step.
Biggest surprises of camp for you, positive and negative, individual?
I think Carmona has to be the biggest surprise positively.
Yep.
You know, that he came up and he locked that position. I put Schlotman next to it because we thought that was going to be, you know, a position battle, and it really wasn't. So I think, you know, both of them on the offensive line, you know, that was really nice. You know, I think, you know, the corners are, you know, I think the coaches continue to talk them up, but I think, you know, when you look at the numbers that the other quarterbacks put up in the preseason against the starters and the non-starters, you'd like to see the coverage and the pass rush both be better than they have been. I think, you know, they've invested in that position, at least at the corners, at the front end of it. I'm looking for them to pick up somebody off the waiver wire here, you know, to improve that secondary. We'll see if they can. And by the way, Udo, our friend, got cut, and I would consider him a big upgrade over the 2 swing tackles that they got.
Yeah, I mean,
we talked earlier about maybe, there might be a tackle transaction ahead for these guys.
Deculus was the biggest shocker for me on the roster.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah. He was pretty bad in the preseason. Corey?
He was the worst offensive lineman in the NFL last year by grade.
Yeah, not good. Did not do much.
Ava wants to say hi.
Oh, hi.
Ava, there we go.
Hey, there's our star player.
Yeah, we're dropping off at school.
There we go. I like it. Well, Corey, thank you for taking time to be with us. Multitasking, as always, because that's how much a professional you are, and we will talk to you next week, my friend.
By the way, I am officially old. That game was over. My back was shot, and I was exhausted.
Hey, man. You're a vet. You've been doing it for a while.
I'm just old, man. Just old.
I can relate.
Thank you, Corey. Appreciate it.
Later, guys.
Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. We'll react to what Corey had to say. Take your thoughts on the Titans, the preseason finale against the Bears. Robert Saleh electing not to play the starters. We'll get into all of that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. We will have another spot to give away in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League coming up later this hour. So make sure you're tuned in for that. Appreciate Corey Curtis for being with us in the last segment. The Titans wrap up the preseason. We went through some of the initial 53-man roster decisions there. So Restrepo making the team out of camp. He is the sixth wide receiver on the roster for the Titans. You have Cordell Volson, who they signed this offseason to potentially be the answer at right guard. He didn't even make the team out of camp. That's how bad he was during camp. Carmona stepped in. He was one of the starters that actually played a little bit the other night in the preseason game and continues to show well for himself. So good stuff on that front. Joe, I guess beyond kind of the obvious of Volson, Restrepo making the team, anything in particular stand out to you about the initial 53-man roster for the Tennessee Titans?
Yeah, I think the non-surprising headline is the Levis era ends, and the surprising headline is Restrepo on, Bryce Oliver out. You know, I think those are the big ones. And as you said earlier, Deculus being on is definitely, I think that's a sign of the times in the NFL.
Yeah.
Now, if you are an offensive tackle of any sort of remote competence, you may well have a job in this league. But yeah, I think Corey's onto something there on, and I said it earlier in the show, like I would not. There's a few names on here, starting with his. I wouldn't write in ink right now if you can upgrade there. Because it seems like you'd be able to, as bad as the tackles who are getting cut in this league must be, again, relative to, like, starting level tackles,
yep.
I still feel like you could probably get an upgrade there. But Restrepo, it's a cool story. Also, I saw Mason Kinsey, by the way, put out a nice kind of farewell. It is, Mason Kinsey, this is where the preseason, Robbie, at least has some, as bad as it is, as soon as you get through like a few minutes of the first preseason, you're like, oh God, no more of this. But like, it is cool. Like, Titans fans actually know Mason Kinsey because of preseason games.
Sure.
And they know Julius Chestnut because of preseason games. And it's, you still see those young guys who aren't normally going to play go out there and show out. And he was a pretty freaking good story coming out of Berry College. And he was certainly – he was a Xavier Restrepo before Xavier Restrepo. People were like, look, the dude just had like 5 catches for 80 yards in Atlanta. This guy can't play? You know, he did get on the field. He got out there on a couple of Sundays in his career. So farewell to him. Levis era ends. And Restrepo, cool story. Also, I think you're talking injuries before that makes any sort of an impact on a Sunday.
Yeah, I don't know what that's going to look like on a Sunday. I mean, obviously, special team is going to be a part of that.
But yes.
In terms of actual production on the field, like, he's just not going to play a whole lot out there at the wide receiver spot. It is a cool story to see him make the team. Like, I'm looking at career stats. I guess it is kind of surprising to me that Mason Kinsey, for his NFL career in games that actually counted, he finished with 2 catches for 48 yards. I thought it was a little bit more than that, but I guess not. 2 catches,
24
yards
per catch. That's Hall of Fame. Good. That's a Hall of Fame per catch average. Just want you to know.
Probably should have got the ball to him a little bit more if he was averaging that much a catch, you know?
Hey, man, guy could play, man. Guy could play.
Titans did not play their starters for the most part in the game on Saturday against Chicago. And then Carmona got in there for a little bit. Tate was in there for a little bit. Cedric Gray, but not a ton of starters seeing action on the field on Saturday against Chicago. We've kind of gone back and forth on that in terms of what we think about it. I mean, the joint practices, Corey is right, and that's a point we probably should have brought up more often of, you know, they did do 3 joint practices. Not a whole lot of teams do that. I mean, I think you bring up the Packers. I think they've done 1. So they did 1 this year. So it is a different approach than you see from a lot of teams. So that's a lot of reps. Saleh said, I think, that they went 60 reps over kind of what they were expecting in terms of the totality of the preseason there. So you can make the argument that they've gotten enough work. Now, Saleh also said a couple of times over the last few weeks that it's a young football team and, quote, they need all the reps they can get. So it was hard for me to kind of balance those two things when it comes to not playing the starters for the most part on Saturday. What did you make of not playing the starters on Saturday against the Bears?
Yeah, it's the timing of it is what is curious, right? Because it's like, okay, well, you left the door open when you talked about the starters playing, but like what prompted the change of mind? Like, I think it's absolutely defensible and it's arguable that it makes sense to not get anybody hurt in a preseason game when you just had all these joint practices. He did say that they were over, the reps were over and all that stuff. So, okay, that makes sense. Just why'd you change your mind is the question. And that's where, you know, it gets into. And I tend to lean Corey's way. Like, I really, you're talking about a guy in Robert Saleh who his first head coaching job was with the New York Jets. He knows a thing or two about media and fans screaming about this or that. It's part of the landscape, right? Like, to me, I hope it's not that he's worried about Cam Ward having rabbit ears, because it's just part of the deal. It's part of the job. So I guess I hope that he's being honest in terms of just, you know what, we got the reps, we're good. That was a very good joint practice. We can't get someone key hurt right now. What are we doing? Let's just go ahead and bag it, as opposed to, well, Cam's getting carved up out here. What if he stinks in this game? And then we're going to have to hear about it. I hope that's not the case. I would be concerned if that were the case.
I hope it's not the case. I think it's probably not the case. But I did wonder. I was like, huh, I wonder if this is maybe a little bit to do with whether or not they just don't want to hear people screaming about their quarterback for the next 2 weeks before the regular season
goes. And if they're worried about, like, his confidence, yeah. You know? I mean, it does go hand in hand, Robbie, with the statement that Saleh made. We could maybe play it again before the show ends. Yep. You know, which was a strong statement of support. Like, he's riding with Cam, you know?
We'll play that coming up next. Some strong comments from Robert Saleh on the Cam Ward front. We will give away a spot in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League before the show ends as well. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you, presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Outdoor patios, landscaping design, lawn maintenance, and more. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. We mentioned some strong comments that Robert Saleh had on the Cam Ward front over the weekend, expressing confidence in his quarterback. Here is what Robert Saleh had to say on Saturday after the preseason game about his second-year quarterback.
Now that you've had a full training camp with Cam Ward, is there anything new that you've learned about him that you may not have thought would come to the surface?
Yeah, he's not stubborn. He's not stuck, you know, like he wants to learn, he wants to evolve, he wants to grow, not just football wise, but as a man, as a person, the way he handles himself with you guys, the way he handles himself with his teammates. Like, the conversations he has are very mature for his age. He's much deeper than you would think for a young hotshot quarterback. So he's, this kid's not going to fail. Obviously I put my job on that one, but he's not going to fail. He's special.
So that was Robert Saleh. This kid's not going to fail. Put my job on that one. He's special. Very strong comments there from Saleh. What did you make of that on the Cam Ward front?
Yeah. I mean, he said he has talked about his intangibles before. He's said things similar. But I think that was the strongest Robert Saleh statement about Cam Ward. And again, you can take that comment. Now, he was asked about it. I mean, it's a question from TD, so he's answering a question. But you could take the strength of that comment and then, you know, the whole, you know, why didn't Cam play? And you could, I guess you could talk yourself into Saleh is noticing / concerned about all the negative discourse about his young quarterback. But look, I mean, it's, these are compelling statements. As we've talked about a million times, those things he's talking about, there are plenty of quarterbacks in the history of the NFL who have all the right stuff intangibly and don't have enough tangibly and didn't make it. It's just a real, like, being that deep person and wanting to get better and work out there, all that stuff, that's great. Those give you a better chance. Every single box you can check there gives you a better chance, but it doesn't mean that you won't fail. It's just the reality of this league is whatever, 80%, right? About 80% fail. And in that 80%, there's a bunch of guys who have checked all those boxes.
Yeah, there is. I take that as a coach. Look, you're right. He was asked a question about it. He's answering the question. I would say that not every coach would be that strong in the answer of the question.
Agreed.
On the quarterback.
For sure.
And I kind of took some of that as, like, Saleh is well aware of kind of the shrapnel that his quarterback is taking right now, just in terms of, like, people are watching the preseason film and they're breaking it down, and Cam Ward has become a pretty popular national discussion point over the last couple of weeks when it comes to just the lack of good performances that he's had in the preseason to this point. So I kind of took that as, here's a guy kind of going out of his way to back his quarterback a little bit, which, like, I have no problem with as the head coach. But, I look, he doesn't live in a bubble. He's aware of the discourse publicly around Cam Ward right now. And I'm with you. I would hope that you're not making, like, preseason game decisions on what you think the discourse around your quarterback is going to be. I mean, number one, I would hope part of your thought process would be, well, if we did play Cam, he could go out there and play well and kind of quiet some of that, yeah, rather
and,
than
– and get in good work.
What happens if he doesn't, right? So yeah. I would hope that's not right. The case. But the reality is, I mean, there is a lot of negative discourse publicly on the Cam Ward front right now, and I think that was the coach backing his quarterback publicly.
I mean, Kurt Warner spent so much time on his feet, I assume that's like Rex Ryan's favorite video now in the last week. I mean, like, my goodness. So, Ian, oh, thank you. There you go. Beep, 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 beep.
Back there. I think I have a foot thing.
Oh, God. See, he was already ready with that. Yeah, I mean, it is, though. It's a lot. It has been a lot. And it's also overall, I mean, all of this stuff in the preseason, you know, it becomes so irrelevant so soon, although we have to wait 2 weeks for it. But yeah, like, it's out there. It's out there. A lot of people concerned about him. And it was fair for people to be concerned about him after last season. But you have the new OC and you have the new head coach, and you hope you're going to see more signs of progress. And the reality is that first game will mean so much in so many ways on a variety of fronts, certainly huge with Cam. Chris in Nashville says, I'm starting to have concerns about Saleh. I will ask you why.
Yeah, we haven't gotten to a game yet.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I mean, I've got concerns.
Let him lose to the Jets, okay?
I mean, I've got concerns about Saleh dating back from his head coaching tenure with the Jets, right? Like, I think that's fair. We've gone over the record and what that looks like. But, I mean, there's nothing that he's done or not done here yet that I'm that worried about. We'll see what happens when the regular season comes around. One texter says, I'm not a Cam Do, but you are a little negative Nelsons this morning.
Negative Nelsons?
I haven't heard
the
that one.
The hell is that?
I've heard of negative Nelly.
Yes.
Maybe the
negative Nancy.
Yeah.
Negative Nelsons. Interesting.
I like it.
Good point by Justin Greenbrier. If you could will yourself into being a great starting quarterback, then Levis would have never failed. Yeah, and I'm not saying – I mean, I think the difference between those two is that there was a little bit too much, like, with will, right, where it's like – and you put too much on yourself.
Yeah.
And it seems like Cam has a more balanced kind of feel there, you know. It seems that way, outside looking in. But, yeah, I mean – there's a lot of intangibles there.
Well, I would agree. I think the going back to the Saleh part of it, that's where the – well, he won't fail, or he's not going to fail stuff. Like, again, I have no problem with the coach saying that and backing your quarterback publicly. But the reality is, like, to your point, you can have everything you need to have from a mentality standpoint, from a work ethic standpoint, from a, hey, I am going to work so hard at this that there's no way – that I'm going to fail. And the bottom line is, like, if you can't get more accurate than he is right now, he is going to fail. So he's got to find a way to get more accurate. And, you know, obviously the work ethic and working through your footwork and working through all these things, that's part of it. Like, you've got to find a way to improve those things, and hopefully he does. And then, you know, that'd be great for the Titans. You go from there. He's your franchise quarterback. You move on. But I guess my point is you can have all the things you need to have intangibly and just ultimately not be good enough. And there's nothing you can really do about it.
100%. That's why it's such a hard job, such a high-paying job, most important job in American sports. And the thing that you hope is that some of the inaccuracy, as you progress and you have more command pre-snap and you have more command post-snap when the picture changes and you're more confident that you know what's going on, that some of these passes that have sailed on you are not because, you know, just because of the mental side of things and having a grasp for everything. Like, so you hope some of it isn't just as simple mechanics, and it's like once you have more and more of a command of everything,
yep,
that more of those passes are on target. All right, what text did you get that's making you laugh?
Well, I was thinking about it because Dennis is right. Like, we've had, you know, Mariota, who wasn't wound tightly enough, and Levis, who's wound way too tight. Like, can you find some balance there at that point? You know?
That is a good point.
Get some.
Maybe Cam Ward is the happy medium of those.
Maybe
two.
So.
Actually, I can kind of buy that. Dennis also said USC fans picking out seats like Goldilocks. Ew, this one's too hot. Well done, Dennis.
Good.
Someone else asked, Robbie, and I think this is a good thing to get to today, is the third quarterback. Who is going to be the Titans' third quarterback? It could be Hendon Hooker. I don't think he'll be picked up by anybody. So they could sign him back to the practice squad. I'd be happy for him if that were the case. But maybe not. I mean, there are others out there who might be better options.
Well, I mean, could it be? I mean, I think Nick Mullins got released by Jacksonville after they traded for Quinn Ewers. I mean, is Jake Browning out there right now?
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier. Which
Corey Curtis brought him up. He got cut somewhere.
Yeah, so Jake Browning got cut in Tampa.
Luke Altmyer, cut by the Lions, I believe. Yeah. Did they keep Dobbs and cut Altmyer?
I believe that is correct.
I mean, it could be, you know, young guy with some.
To answer the question, I don't think the Titans' third quarterback is going to be Hendon Hooker. It's obviously not going to be Levis.
You're quite a VFL hater.
It's going to be somebody that has not been on their roster, would be my guess.
I would tend to guess that, too. I am admittedly rooting for Hendon. Hendon's hanging on by a thread in this league right now.
He had a couple nice runs the other night.
And he did. Actually had a great little move.
Yeah.
Didn't do a lot throwing the ball. And Levis is just fascinating to me. I just someone's going to take a flyer on him, right? But I don't know who. And I get like what you go through each team and be like, with everything we've seen a couple trades take place that could have been him. That it wasn't him because no one sees enough value in him to make that trade. It's really going to be fascinating.
I guess what does take a flyer on him mean? Because nobody signed him to the active roster.
Well, that's what you have to do.
I mean, I think he's going to end up being a free agent, and then he's going to probably sign on somebody's practice squad at some point. Like, I think that's where he's going to be.
So right now, if you're going to pick him up off waivers, if he's on the active roster.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think anybody's picking him up off waivers. And then I think he's going to be a free agent, and they're going to be like, hey, Will Levis signed to the practice squad of the Seahawks or whoever. Like, I don't know.
There are a fair amount of teams who are keeping three and even four on the active roster right now, which is –
Yeah, that one's – I mean
– I mean, the Browns are out there. I mean, I guess Dylan Gabriel's on IR, though. But they're just like, yeah, we'll just keep them all. Okay.
We don't have enough roster spots for good players. We'll just keep all the quarterbacks, you know? I mean, they may start a different quarterback the first four games out there just to see what sticks.
That's actually not a bad idea.
Like, well, we can't start Deshaun on the home opener in week three, so let's start somebody else that game.
They should be like Akron, you know, with like letting fans pick plays. How about just do like a QB draw every week, the Browns fans?
That'd be good.
Draw it out of that paper bag you're about to put on your head.
That'd be nice. 615-737-1025. Is our phone number. I mean, we were talking about the empty seats earlier. You know, seats are expensive in Cleveland, too. Those Browns fans still show up, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Somehow.
And it actually is hot there now, soon to be horrifically cold.
It will be very soon.
They'll show up, though. Crazy enough.
We will wrap up the show coming up next. More of your thoughts on the Titans. There was something I watched over the weekend, which I basically just started laughing out loud about. We will get into that, and we will give away another spot in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. It's time to give away another spot in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. Rex Road's come up with an outstanding idea that we will do tomorrow on the show for our final Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football giveaway. So I'm very much looking forward to that. Today, it's just going to be very simple. Caller 6 at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller 6 will win the second-to-last spot in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. And Rex Road, in all his brilliance, has come up with a great idea for tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to that.
It could backfire, though.
It could. But it may not.
We'll find out tomorrow.
It may work swimmingly.
Yes.
615-737-1025. Joe, I watched the Vince Young documentary this weekend on Netflix, going through the story of his career and, you know, why things didn't work out at the NFL level and his history with Texas and all those things. I got to say, it was basically what I feared it would be kind of coming into it, which is we're going to get in front of the camera and we're going to talk about how, like, basically the reason my NFL career didn't work out was everybody else's fault other than my own, which was disappointing. I mean, look, he talked about at the end of it, you know, he wrote a letter to Jeff Fisher, you know, saying, hey.
Apologizing,
yeah,
right?
Basically apologizing to it and all these things. But basically, like, the majority of the documentary was, we got to Nashville, and it turns out, you know, Jeff Fisher coached me a little too hard, and I don't think he ever really wanted me to begin with, and it was his fault that things didn't work out, and just not a whole lot of responsibility taken from Vince Young. So I was looking forward to the doc. I mean, you are, like, I do remember, because, you know, you think about college football, great college football players over the last 25, 30 years, and there's Cam Newton at Auburn, there's Tebow at Florida, obviously, and Burrow at LSU. Like, there's a bunch of guys that have played at a really, really high level. I still think, like, the single greatest game I've ever seen anybody play in college football was that national championship game that Vince Young played. I mean, he played that game. He became an absolute superstar. The Titans drafted him. There was a level of excitement about that pick that I don't think anything else has really rivaled since then. Like, Ward does not rival that. Even Marcus didn't rival that. Like, it was just different with Vince Young. And we know the way that it played out, it didn't work out. But it is like going back and kind of reliving some of the Texas stuff. I mean, he became an absolute superstar after that. I mean, he's hanging out with Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. And it was just, he's on late night TV shows. Like, it's wild. He was a quarterback of the Titans. Like, it was just crazy to kind of go back down memory lane there. But, yeah, I don't know that I would overly recommend the Vince Young documentary at the end of it.
That's too bad. I still might watch it. How long is it?
It's only like an hour and 20 minutes, something like that. It's okay. Not too bad.
Okay. Yeah, the not taking accountability, that is unfortunate. I mean, I guess writing an apology letter means you.
Yeah, I mean, he somewhat got there. I mean, there was too long. It was like 20 minutes in the episode where he's just basically just railing on Fisher. And, like, all his family are talking about how much they didn't like Jeff Fisher and stuff. And it's like, okay. Like, I'm not saying Jeff Fisher handled everything perfectly. And, look, the Titans, I mean, Fisher goes into it in the doc. Like, he was like, yeah, like, going through the draft process, we brought in USC's former offensive coordinator. He really wanted us to take Leinart. After I got done watching the film, I wanted to take Jay Cutler. And I think Fisher said that before. But he's like, yeah, I wanted Jay Cutler. I thought he was the best one. But he's like, basically, Bud Adams was like, you're taking Vince Young. And part of it was because, I guess,
yeah,
Houston's owner's wife called into a radio station about how she was going to, like, jump off a bridge if they didn't take Vince Young. And he was like, yeah, I want to see her jump. And I was like, oh, great. It's the good stuff on the documentary.
Why can't we ever get calls like that from owners?
Exactly.
Amy, call us.
Yeah, she's not calling this show. I don't like the way that guy talks about my voice. I don't like it.
But to your point, one, I agree. That's one of the greatest games, one of the greatest college football games and just games I've ever seen. An absolutely epic performance. And it just, when you look at what he did as a rookie, man, he is one heck of a what could have been,
yep.
Right? One heck of a what could have been. And I think that as we talk about the quarterback now, you know, in this town who people, you know, have high hopes for, number one overall pick. Like, I mean, the good thing is, I mean, all that stuff is in order, right?
Yep.
Here. But like the talent of Vince Young, limitless. And I don't know, the one part I saw on the doc, you mentioned Fisher, you know, they're all ripped, but the whole his answer on like the letter, like spelled it wrong or whatever, I'm like, okay, first of all, how? I need to know.
Yeah, I need to know how Jeff Fisher's name was misspelled.
Coach Geoff, I'm so sorry. But also, like, I don't know, that just seems so lame to me to respond that way. Okay, just whatever. You don't respond? Mm-hmm. I don't know. We don't know everything that happened, but it didn't. I didn't think he came off well in that clip I saw.
I didn't think he did either. And Vince really, frankly, doesn't come off well in this either. Like, he's late to the team plane one time, and he was like, I mean, it was the first time I missed the plane. Coach is really going to, like, leave me there? Like, it's like, well, you could just show up on time, you know? Like, it's amazing.
Those Friday's jalapeno poppers were just not quite done. I had to send them back.
I know, it's a crazy idea, Vince, but you might want to show up to practice in the team plane, leaving on time as an NFL player.
Did he really say that's the first time I missed a plane? It was the first time. Who doesn't miss
really,
some planes?
Really, coach, you're going to do me like this? It's like, well, we got a departure time we got to stick to, you know? Whatever.
I think I'll still watch it. Of course, I've been saying that, and then I never do. But thanks for the non-recommendation.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's all right. I did. I got about 40 minutes into it. I was like, do I really want to finish this? Is this really what I want to do? But, yeah, it's fine. Joe, I guess.
Do we have a winner?
Yes, we do. Casey Nickel, who said he was in the league last year.
Oh, there we go.
So how about that?
A repeat winner.
He figured out a way to good on the draw. Caller 6 made it.
I mean, I guess we don't have a rule against it.
I try to make it as fair as possible.
Yeah.
So.
Well, congrats
Sometimes
to Casey.
It works out that way.
Better luck next time, you know, because you and Robbie and everybody else had to watch me and Ian play for the whole thing. So, I forget who won, but I just know I played for the whole thing. That's all I know. That's all I remember.
I wonder, yeah.
I'm looking forward to our giveaway tomorrow on the show. The final spot of the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy
Football
League.
You're going to have to earn it.
You're going to
have to earn it tomorrow.
You're going to have to really earn it. Get your thinking caps on as you prepare tomorrow. Joe, I guess we should acknowledge this is probably going to be the last show that we ever spend any sort of significant time on Will Levis as a member of the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, I think there's potential, you know, when he signs somewhere, and then there'll be some people on the Texans like, Levis should be the starter!
Yeah, that's a significant time. I don't know how much patience I'm going to have for it.
Yeah. Yeah,
but if he goes somewhere else and, like, balls out, then it's like, okay. Well, then we'll probably talk about
that too. Yeah, what about when he beats the Titans inevitably?
Yeah, when he goes to Jacksonville.
Right.
Gets an emergency start and wins.
Yeah, then we will
spend. Then we'll probably talk about it.
What about, like, Will Levis and Malik Willis playing each other in the Super Bowl? And then we'll spend some time on him, okay?
One of the teams coached by Vrabel. That'll be good.
Yeah.
Real nice.
Could happen.
Well, shout out to Will.
Well, good luck to you,
good
my
luck
friend.
To you. Hope you find another job in the NFL at some point. That does it for us today on the program. Next man up with Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.